FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome, and you are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz. It's June 28th, 2018. Hey, inflation, is it back? Is it rearing its ugly head? Is it going to put a damper on the economic expansion that appears to be taking place right now? Well, we'll find out the answers to that and much more. First, as always, join the show, participate. We really love to get your emails, especially first thing in the morning. You want to kick back with a cup of Java and see what you've got to say. And by the way, YouTubers, I do read all your comments as well, even the colorful ones, which that's what YouTube is all about, it appears. Don't forget to subscribe. Click that subscribe button and the bell so you get notified when we put up new shows. So inflation, is it back? Is it going to pick up steam? Is it going to perhaps put a damper on economic growth? Well, Sam McElroy is with us again to discuss. Sam, welcome back.
Thanks for having me. Glad to be back.
So inflation, is it real or is it just a blip? What's going on here?
Well, I think to some degree it is real, and it needs to be. You know, you don't really want to be in a situation where things aren't inflating, where prices aren't going up. But I think it's a really interesting time right now because of the way that everything kind of converges on itself. And what I mean by that is, you know, when you're talking about inflation, inflation basically comes from essentially a healthy economy. The more that people are employed and the more that they can, basically be able to find jobs more readily, it forces employers, in order to retain key talent, to be able to increase their pay. And in doing that, they then need to increase what they're selling their goods and services for. And so this is the idea of kind of where inflation comes from. So anytime you have low unemployment numbers and a healthy jobs market, then it should, you know, as long as everything else looks pretty good, create a period where you're going to have some inflation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, it only makes sense. Look, I don't know what the real unemployment numbers are. It's really difficult to judge. But what I do know is one number they don't fudge is new claims for unemployment insurance. I don't believe that one is seasonally adjusted in any way. It's an actual number. It's been heading down almost since Trump was inaugurated. Virtually every week, it's lower. I mean, it's hit a low that we haven't seen anything like. What we don't really know is how many people who want jobs are still on the sidelines, because the workforce participation number, which skidded during the Obama years and the W years before that, the later W years, it's gone up a little bit, but it hasn't gone up meaningfully. But on the other hand, we've got this huge group of baby boomers retiring at somewhere around 10,000 per day. I don't know where they get that number from. I have no idea if it's real, but that could definitely be putting a damper on the potential workforce. So overall, what's your take? Are there more people out there employed and therefore the wages are going up, or is it just kind of an illusion?
You know, it's a little bit of a mixed bag. I would say that, you know, even before the new administration, the number of people kind of going back to work and the health of the economy was kind of already improving. So that part, I think, is real. You know, I think the unemployment numbers are trending downwards, though I would agree that we may not have, you know, the best accurate number in terms of true people that are unemployed. Now, with respect to people that are aging, you do have some attrition. So you have people that had been on employment or looking for jobs that basically just said, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and retire because this isn't working out. So there is a little bit of that. Normally, in the type of market or the type of economy that we're in right now, one of the things you would expect is for average wages to start increasing. And I don't think that we've seen that to the degree that we thought we would. And that's one of the reasons why inflation hasn't really started to skyrocket, although it is present. You know, some of the numbers I was looking at recently says that inflation so far is about 2.8% so far for this year. But they're thinking by the end of the year that we're going to settle somewhere around 2.6%. Now, to put that in perspective, we always talk about inflation historically running around 3% or so, which means that we're starting to creep back up in the having some inflation, but still maybe not even, you know, hitting what the average should be if you look from a historical standpoint. So certainly not getting into a period of hyperinflation, it looks like, anytime in the near future.
So also we see GDP, Atlanta Fed for the second quarter just cut its GDP estimate to plus 4.5%. The GDP estimate has a has an inflation deflator built into it, meaning that growth is reduced by the amount approximately, and this is less, this is more art than science, but the growth rate gets reduced by the inflation rate effectively. So if we're seeing that kind of rate, I don't know what the deflator is. I think it was like 1.8 the last time I looked. Maybe it's a 2.2. So conceivably real growth could be a little bit lower than what the Atlanta Fed numbers are claiming.
Yeah, that's right. And I think that we could say kind of the same thing was true sort of for last year also. You know, we had some pretty lofty goals in terms of, you know, what real GDP growth was going to look like. And I think this is one of the areas where, especially for investors, they have to be really careful what's happening in terms of how everything interplays with itself. You know, if we look at the market last year, depending on where you're looking, what industry you're kind of tracking, you could accurately probably say that the market went up anywhere between 15 and 20% last year. But real GDP growth, I think, was somewhere around 2.8%. So while we did have real growth, it wasn't to the same magnitude of where the market basically portrayed it. And in a sense, we built in some more risk, I think, into the market. And I think that's one of the reasons why it's being so sensitive this year. And we're starting to see more of the volatility uptick throughout the course of this year also. You know, one of the things I think that's also really interesting to point out is I was reading an article maybe a couple of months ago now. And what they were basically talking about is that when you're talking about inflation, there's kind of like this inflation number, which you can go off of the consumer price index. But then there's actual real inflation, like, you know, what hits our pocketbooks. And in a sense, they may not be the same number. I think that sometimes the consumer price index is a little bit lower than, say, inflation related to things like healthcare and food and gas and some of the things that we're really spending money on. So I think that's something that we have to watch out for also.
Hey, you know, and one thing we haven't looked at in a long time because it had really been in the dumps was the velocity of money. All right. It's been heading downward from really from 1997 to current, but now in Q4 of 2017 started picking up a little. It was down as low as 1.426 at the beginning of 2017, picked up to just a tiny bit, but it looks like it could be a beginning of a trend reversal here. And you find that at Fred, you know, which is the Federal Reserve Bank of St. Louis, that M2 velocity starting to pick up, and that would be a sign of inflation. Hey, one other employment number that's a positive is the number of people applying for permanent disability benefits under Social Security is way, way down. That had become kind of the permanent unemployment insurance fund where people who couldn't find jobs in places like West Virginia would just go and apply for disability and just not worry about it anymore. So that trend also is indicative of a growing economy.
Yeah, you know, I think if you look at it, we're in a precarious situation in which the economy is actually growing, but I think that the market is due for, you know, at the very least, a reversion back to the mean or some pullback. And I think one of the things that we're all kind of curious to watch is how the pullback that could potentially happen in the market, along with the growing economy, along with the Fed basically increasing interest rates, and how these three pieces converge together. I think it's a very tight rope that we're basically walking right now to try to have these pieces not stall out the other factors and be able to move forward from there. But I don't know that there's been a period in history where we've had the degree of the different things from a financial standpoint that are all happening at the same point.
Yeah, a lot of trends converging. What about trade? And what about the whole tariff imbroglio and all that? Is that real or is it just a distraction?
You know, I think it's actually a bit of both. I heard somebody say that, you know, to some degree, from an economic standpoint, this is either, you know, bad crazy or crazy in the sense of good strategy. And I almost wonder if time is going to tell which it is, you know, but I can speak at it from a theoretical standpoint and then from a practical standpoint also. from a theoretical standpoint, I think that it's very clear that it's already reverberating throughout the market. You know, if we look at the volatility index, we can see that really since February 5th of this year, I think we've had over six sessions now where the index has jumped more than 20%, and the largest was activity in the market, I think. And so as there's more information that could potentially be dangerous for investors, I think we're seeing that reverberate a little bit further right now. In addition to that, you know, I actually talked to an individual about a week or so ago who runs an architecture and building firm, and he was really telling me how this is putting a big impact on his business. Concern was that it may actually impact construction as well.
Really? Huh. So there are some legitimate shortages out there in the real economy for sure, but we probably still have too many people employed in finance, right?
That could definitely be true.
Definitely. Hey, well, you know, it's interesting to see. So this is kind of the trend. We're in mid-year now. You care to hazard a guess, Sam, where we're heading for the end of the year, where these numbers are going to come out? You don't have to give me a Dow Jones reading. I won't push you for that. But, you know, what's your feel on it?
Well, if you're talking in terms of the markets and where the markets are going to end up, it's really, really hard to say. From a technical standpoint, just looking at where I think the markets are trading relative to our global economic standing, I do think that there should be, and I would be anticipating, some type of pullback in the market. And I don't know to what degree that would be, but I think that right now we're operating in a really big gray space where fundamental economics is not lining up with where the market is right now. However, I think that the way that the market has behaved, especially over the last year or so, there is a lot of optimism, a lot of investor goodwill, so to speak, that I think we can't ignore. So if there was some really good news or some other data that came out that could add some fodder or momentum to the market, I could see the market kind of holding out this year. But sometime between now and call it the next few years, I think that the market needs to shed some excess baggage, because I think it's unrealistic that corporations are going to be able to grow fast enough to basically grow into the inflated prices that they have right now.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And when we see where the market's been, like, we haven't talked about tax cuts in a while. They seem to be having a profound impact upon the economy, don't they? The real economy.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't necessarily done a whole lot of digging into to try to trace the implications of the taxes and what's happening from that standpoint. Certainly not from a corporate standpoint, though I look at it more from a personal standpoint. And, you know, I saw some things happening early on from a tax standpoint, in the sense of corporations, you know, trying to give money back to their employees and stuff like that. But in my mind, that was more for PR than it was true, you know, sharing of prosperity, so to speak. The question that I think that I still am kind of wrestling with is twofold. So number one, from a tax standpoint, I'm seeing a lot of people that aren't necessarily taking that money and just going out and spending more, bigger vacations, bigger houses and stuff like that. I see a lot of people that are basically doing a lot of saving and trying to make up for some ground. And I also see people basically trying to pay off debt that they picked up. And my concern is that if we're basically using this stimulus, so to speak, to be able to rectify our financial houses and basically accumulate more savings and pay off more debt, then I don't know if it's going to spur GDP in the way that people were thinking. I think that the second piece that you kind of get into deals more so with just the broader market as a whole, the broader country as a whole. And the question is this, just because of the logistics of how tax changes happen, I think it's very realistic that these changes, at least the tax rates, are going to sunset in 6 years. And I'm wondering if this is going to end up being temporary relief, but in the long run, actually end up putting a little bit more of a burden on the average taxpayer, trying to then make up the deficit that's created. But, you know, it's kind of like one of those situations where I think only time is going to tell, and we're going to have to wait it out to kind of see how some of this plays out.
Yeah, that's the truth. We are going to have to see how it plays out. Nobody knows the future. As Yogi Berra would say, predicting is very hard, especially when you're talking about the future. And of course, that's what we're talking about. But right now, there's the present, and you got to be concerned about it. Sam, people want to get in touch with you, find out information, get your take on their investments or on the economy. Where's the best place to go for this?
Yeah, easiest place is probably our website. It's just www.atfinancial.com. And all of our contact information, articles, everything else can be found there.
All right. Hey, and be part of the show. If you got questions for Sam, myself, just shoot them over. Again, the email address is kl@carrylutz.com. Twitter feed is @CarrieLutz. Facebook page is Financial Survival Network. And by the way, if you're listening to this on YouTube, click the subscribe button, click the bell. Don't hesitate to comment. I read all your comments, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Fortunately, not too many uglies. Our thumbs up to thumbs down ratio is better than 10 to 1. So keep doing the thumbs up, thumbs down thing. Sam, we'll talk to you again soon. Hopefully, after the end of the summer, we'll have a better idea of where things are shaking out.
Okay, sounds good to me.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get 3 free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.